What are the biggest nutrition mistakes people make while dieting? But before you answer, can I explain why I think it's a harder question to answer?
Go ahead.
It's because, like, nutrition, when it comes to training mistakes, that concerns a circumscribed class of people. We're already talking about people who are lifting weights. Whereas the nutrition mistakes question concerns a broader class of people, because that encompasses not just lifters, but also non-lifters. And they could, on average, be making different or worse mistakes, you know, so... I bring that up just because if we start rambling about all the things lifters are doing wrong from a nutrition standpoint, then that's not going to be very helpful for the general population who might be making different mistakes. And likewise, if we focus on gen pop, it's not going to be so helpful to lifters. So,
Either way. And I mean, yes, in as much as obviously lifters do make mistakes in dieting, I dare say it's a subculture. Well, the mistakes tend to be different when they
Right?
Like, there are certain things that are so endemic to the lifting subculture that there are problems that would be extremely rare to see that you might see, or you do see, damn near universally outside of it, mainly to do with protein intake. It is rare. Rare indeed, even getting away from the quibble about, you know, the protein debates.
Yeah.
You're simply not going to find a lifter dieting on extremely low protein intake.
Yeah, they doesn't. I mean,
rarely. It would be such...
Yeah, there are some lifters who do total fasting, and we can talk about that later. But
there's people who do lots of stupid and that's among that, that being one of them. But by and large, you just, that at least that singular problem doesn't tend to occur very often. Whereas in Gen Pop, it's more likely than not. Not universal, because at least some...
Just under-eating protein.
Yeah, some minor niches of Gen Pop dieting have at least figured that. That's, I mean, 30 years ago, I would have said it was universal. Now there are at least some nutrition cults that are better about it, that would appeal to Gen Pop. So that would be one. So, like, okay, so lifters, what would the major mistakes make be? I think if there's one, and this that I see often enough, there is still, unfortunately, an idea that, like, it's a missing the forest for the trees question that usually shows up on forums or Facebook, my Facebook group or whatever, in the following context. Hi, I'm trying to lose body fat. I am currently, now just take your pick from which one of these I'm going to list. I am currently eating clean, eating 6 meals per day, eating paleo, eating keto, eating zone, eating this, eating that, eating the other, and I'm not losing any body fat. What am I doing wrong? Also, I'm lifting this, and I'm doing X amount of cardio, and I'm taking this supplement. You provided every piece of information except what matters, which is your body weight, your body fat, your activity, your calories, and your protein, because none of that matters. Not clean eating, not 6 meals per day, not intermittent fasting, not paleo, not keto, not none of that. None of that matters without this data. And they go, well, I'm not counting my calories. Well, that's why you're not losing fat. Because you can eat 6 meals a day, you can eat clean, you can eat any way you want. And if you're not in a deficit, I saw this reel. Some RD is like, here's why you're not losing fat, even though you're eating high protein and lifting. And it was like, because you're choosing nuts as a protein source, because this, because that. And I said, you listed everything except the one thing that matters. You're not in a deficit. You're not training intensely enough. The weight training doesn't matter. You mentioned every possible explanation except the one that does. They're not in a deficit. Why are you focusing on irrelevancies? Not lifting to fail is not what's preventing you from losing fat. It's because you're not in a deficit. Period. And that's probably the glow. People have gotten this idea frequently that, oh, as long as you eat six meals a day, as long as you eat clean, as long as you eat low fat, that was the 80s, as long as you eat low carb, that's keto, as long as you eat paleo, as long as you eat this, how much do you weigh? How much? What's your activity? How many calories? That's it. Even protein is only relevant in as much as muscle loss. The only requirement for fat loss, the only biological requirement is a sustained deficit. That's it. That's it. One factor. Protein is important to prevent muscle loss. Resistance training is also important. Those are training factors. If you're done with the commonalities of all diets that work, that generate some amount of weight or fat loss, sustained deficit. That's it. Nothing else matters outside of its ability to either create or not create that and sustain or not sustain that for the individual. Period. It's like the training thing. Again, I wrote this ranty piece on my Facebook group. And I was like, you're getting lost in the details instead of focusing on the commonalities, the eight sets thing, two versus four, exercise versus this. None of that matters. Does it hit the target muscle? Are you progressive? You add weight to the bar? None of the rest of that shit matters outside of what works for you and what you can adhere to. For diet, it's even easier. Does it create a sustained deficit? Period. Does it provide enough protein? Cool. Resistance training? Great. All the other stuff doesn't matter outside of adherence and context. If time-restricted eating lets you adhere better, cool. If it causes you to binge, uncool. That's it. So that's the big place people still make the mistakes. They think that the details somehow replace the fundamental. Because they're like, I don't know how much I'm eating. Well, that's why you're not losing fat. Go figure it out and then come back. Because period, you're eating more than you think. Because otherwise you'd be losing fat. The end. And then they usually get mean and leave. They get mad and leave. So, which is fine. That's it. So that's the big one, I think, that I do still occasionally see among lifters in context.
Now tell me about general population.
Now, Gen pop, I think you run into a lot of other problems. Now that is one of them, certainly, but that's because
just like over-fixating on minutia.
No, it's not even over-fixating on minutia. It's thinking that doing one thing is all that it is required, but also believing that calories don't matter because that's what they've been told by stupid diet books, right? Yeah. Every diet book is literally the same. Chapter one, your fat is not your fault. Here is why this one thing that you're eating is causing you, and take your pick, carbs, fats, flour and sugar, seed oils, the best books, hilarious books. I've never been able to find it again. The guy had been sitting in a restaurant and noticed that people who were overweight were all drinking ice cold drinks and people that were thin weren't. So he came to the conclusion that ice cold drinks were what caused people to gain weight. I don't remember the logic beyond that, but it was one of the most amazing things I've ever read because it was beyond stupid. So chapter one, the insulins, the fats, the carbs, whatever it is. Then it's a bunch of bullshit to sell you on the diet, telling you, but cutting calories doesn't work. Restricted calorie diets always fail. We're going to give you a diet that you can eat as much as you want and lose weight because we've eliminated the X factor. And then they trick you into eating less. That's it. That's every diet book that's ever been written. Doesn't matter. They will tell you that calories don't count and then trick you into eating less. Period. Because invariably, whatever they're eliminating contributes a large number of calories to the diet. They were writing about that even with Atkins, with all of his metabolic magic. Forget the researcher's name now. At the time, carbs made up like 70% of the modern diet. If you cut all of those out, you will eat less. It's that. There's no more magic.
Yeah.
When you reduce dietary fat to very low levels, at least for a while, you eat less and you lose fat. Period. if you say you can't eat sugar, that eliminates most hyperpalatable foods and people eat less. That's it. There is no magic. Now, on the one hand, I don't necessarily disagree with this approach, right? As soon as you tell people you have to restrict your food intake, it causes psychological stress. If you can trick someone into eating less without realizing it, I'm all for it, right? Time-restricted eating, formerly intermittent fasting, and it's not considered fasting, really. Time-restricted eating sometimes does cause people to lose weight. Why? Because they eat less. Because with less time to eat, they may eat less food. Except when they don't, then they eat more food, which happens as often as not, right? A standard keto diet, higher in protein, which is good, restricts dietary carbs, which is where most people overeat. By definition, that means the carb, fat, sweets are off limits. And they work until they came out with all those high fat, high calorie keto foods, and it stopped working. Because keto candy has just as many calories as a regular stuff. Paleo diet eliminates all processed foods. Well, that's where most of your calories come from. Until they had paleo protein bars, you know, like Paleo Man used to hunt, that have worse macros than a metrics bar. Because they're low in protein and high in carbs and fat, because it's just nuts and seeds and shit. Right? It works until it doesn't. So I'm not fundamentally opposed to a diet that gets people to eat less without being aware of it. The problem is that once they've been told that the calories don't matter, when they plateau, you cannot fix it. You can go to any keto form that exists, because I used to. And you were like, I've installed for 6 months. And you go, well, how much are you eating? No, calories don't count. Well, okay. And they're like, is it the dairy? Is it, you should do a fat fast, eat the fat bomb, all this other nonsensical crap. And you go, no, because you're eating too much. Because what's happened is your energy expenditure went down and your appetite went up. You started unconsciously eating more, and or you started eating all this Atkins pre-made food, and you come back into energy balance. Hell, the GLPs are the same way. Look at the weight loss curves on the GLP drugs. Everything happens in the first 20 weeks, and then it's crap for the next 48. Because these people are not tracking their calories. They're not tracking their food. As they're getting lighter and their hunger is coming up, their food intake is unconsciously increasing unless they deliberately track it. Why, people I know that have done RFL with a GLP-1, their weight loss curve is a straight line because they're tracking calories. When you go to these keto forms or paleo or whatever cult it is, they look, calories matter. You know, no, it doesn't. Don't. But you're not losing any weight. Oh, it's probably the insulins or the dairy or this or that or the other. Or, well, no, it's because you're eating too much. But they won't believe it. And that's the danger with those approaches, is that misunderstanding, because it's impossible. And you just, and I, people will still argue this crap. And I go, well, let's just look at the facts. Anyone who has successfully lost body fat has created a sustained deficit over time. And anyone who has not, has not. Argument over. Everything else is horseshit. Every diet that's ever been tested in a deficit will cause fat loss. Period. There is huge individual variability. That's a different topic. Any diet that doesn't create a deficit will not cause fat loss. The end. No other argument exists, because in the real world, that's how it works. Everything else, but you can't convince them of that. So that's a big problem with many popular diets. Probably number two. Well, there are what I would call in Gen Pop, although this has translated to some of the stupidity in the fitness industry, it's what I would just call toxic dieting. There are so many idiotic, the broth diet and the cab, like just, there's nothing too dumb that all it's doing is cycling water and poo off. Right? There's a million diets like that. Like, I love it. I get, because it amuses me, and B, it keeps my blood pressure up. Like, in the US, when you go to the checkouts, they have these like Women's World and Women's Magazine, and every cover of every one, lose 26 pounds in 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, I gotta read this. Maybe they've got the secret. I wanna know. And it's always just the dumbest stuff. It's like Harvard University finds nutrient, resets thyroid. It's just always gibberish. But I got to read it because I got to know. Maybe they've found the keys to the kingdom. But there's so much stuff like that, that almost by definition, even if it causes some amount of weight loss, weight including water, poo, glycogen, maybe a little fat, and probably a good bit of muscle, like it is by definition unsustainable. And it always causes a rebound. Because they're just dumb. There's a lot of approaches like that. But then probably the biggest one you see in Gen Pop, more so among women than men, is insufficient protein intake. Men, it's usually not a problem. Men love keto diets. I can diet on bacon and burgers. Oh, hell yeah. Right? They are all about that life. It's changed in the modern era. Like, again, everyone listens to this. I'm old as shit and realize that I'm partially, this reflects dieting culture 10, 20, 30 years ago, but it's still a problem in Gen Pop. Frequently, women just don't want to eat protein. Some of this is biological. There are sex-based differences in food preference. Some of it is absolutely cultural. But frequently getting them to eat sufficient protein, like they live on either carbs and fats, getting them. Now there are exceptions, right? That is one advantage. When you start to look at like all the keto versus non-keto studies, we're like, oh, keto showed better results because it's keto. No, it showed better results because the protein intake was 50% higher. Because a ketogenic diet or a paleo diet or, God forbid, a carnivore diet, it will ensure sufficient protein if it does nothing else. I will give it credit for that. It will almost ensure sufficient or at least better protein intakes compared. But to me, that's not an argument of keto versus high carb. That's an argument for some. You can eat sufficient protein intake on a carb-based diet too, right? That's the thing the keto cultists miss. It's not like they're mutually exclusive, because when you do those studies and control protein intake, you don't see the benefit, right? That is an ad lib thing, which is not a bad thing. So those are, you know, and like, yeah, fine, we could probably, you know, the crash diet and too low calories, you know what, that's really not a problem, and the studies always show that actually results are better with faster weight loss. So get bent. There was a paper a couple of years ago that basically literally was titled Slow and Steady Does Not Win the Race. They used a much faster weight loss rate. Not only were they better off in the short term, they maintained more in the long term. The idea that slow and steady weight loss is superior.
Could there be a bit of survivorship bias going on there?
I don't think so.
Indicative of just, you know, more effective dieters in general, the ones who can survive that.
I mean, they put them on strictly controlled diets to generate different weight losses.
Right.
And okay. Over the short term, they lost more, and over the long term, they kept more off. So, because earlier studies were more observational, and it is absolutely like maybe the people who lose earlier are more likely to be successful, but this was literally they set them up on diets to generate specific rates of weight loss, and they saw the same benefits. And they were like, and for there are various potential mechanisms behind this, including behavior change, breaking conditions, food cue habits, all this other stuff. But long term, they still, because the Yoel's idea was like, oh, if you lose it faster, you're more likely to rebound faster. Nope, didn't happen. They were still way, like all three groups regained some weight, but they regained about the same amount a year later. And the rapid fat loss, weight loss group was still way ahead. So that's not the problem per se, except the way most people do it is a problem per se. Like this was a food-based diet. When people do, you know, all liquids, or over here we had Slim Fast. It was like two shakes and then one real meal. Like at the same time, there's research that meal replacement powders do facilitate both weight loss and long-term maintenance because it gives you control, but it's always in conjunction with real food. When people do all liquids, or they do, you know, prepackaged foods or whatever, they don't learn how to eat. And there's a lot of, which is fine. If all you want to do is make short-term changes, but if assuming long-term maintenance is the goal, any diet has to fundamentally, A, have an exit strategy, but B, teach you, it has to give you the opportunity to change habits. That's why rapid fat loss, even though most of the PSFMF studies tended to use liquid nutrition, I advocate against, for most people, because yeah, brain control, perfect calorie control, it doesn't teach you how to eat. You need an exit strategy, and that means learning how to eat real food. RFL, Mike Has No Tan, available on my website. I mean, we talked about that in the podcast.
Check the description.
That I have relaxed that a little bit in recent years. I know people that do like a 2-week RFL mini cut who have very well established eating habits. They will do liquids only, but they have eating habits to return to.
Yeah.
I also allow now, like if you've got a really large protein requirement and don't want to eat all the meat in the world, you can use protein powder to supplement. That's what I do. Like I did an RFL 5-2 diet for a while, and I'm using some RFL days for maintenance right now. I just can only eat so much chicken breast in one sitting, or so much canned chicken. So I'll have that and then like a protein drink with it, but it's never in lieu of food. It's always they have their place, but all liquid diets for the average person doesn't teach them any long-term habit that they can return to. So at some
point, unless you actually enjoy and
but nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that.
Majority liquid diet. I mean,
Brian Haycock once tried to convince me that what grocery stores needed was containers of carbohydrate powder, protein powder, and fat powder. And I'm like, what, for you and the other six people that eat like a crazy person? Like, dude, are you out of your mind? Do you think the average, any normal human being is going to just go mix up their gruel? One of the dumbest things about it. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Dude. But dude, come on. You and the other six people that eat like that. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I, like, whatever. Like, I think in terms of macros, right? Like, food, like, just, yeah, it's just sustenance for the most part. But normal human beings. So, like, I say probably those are the big ones, which are just, like, picking dietary approaches that are so absurd that they couldn't possibly work. Insufficient protein, which I think is, again, generally more women than men. On average. There are exceptions. It's funny, the consultations I get, and this is very... a lot of selection bias. It's almost never to the consultation with women I do, they never are not getting enough protein. But that's because they're already involved in this silly subculture.
Yeah.
Whereas I've had the occasional dude, it's like, yeah, I only get like 50 or 60 grams of protein a day. What are you doing? That's a meal. Get it together. Dude. Seriously, dude. Come on. Give me a break. This is stupid. So, but again, Gen Pop, I think there's still this general idea. You know, protein is bad and protein makes you bulky and protein makes you fat and protein does this. It's like, no, protein is the best. It controls hunger and controls blood sugar. And hell, Lehman was writing about that 20 years ago, about how dairy proteins were just like absolutely, you know, the bee's knees for fat loss dieting and higher protein. He was right about higher protein intakes even back then, even for Gen Pop and the critical. There was also during the calcium days, there's an entire book. It's like, the key to fat loss, increase your dairy calcium. That's all it takes. And it was 150 pages of dairy recipes. Like, shit you not. Can't make it up, folks.
Damn. Yeah.
There's nothing too stupid to make a diet book out of. But make someone eat less and get enough protein, it'll work for a while. Still doesn't. Once they come into unconscious calorie balance, it'll quit working. But as long as it fulfills those two things, it'll work. And if it doesn't, it won't. And this was the point of this article that I wrote, this piece that I wrote on my website, because I was on the Facebook group. It was just like, focus on the fundamentals. If a diet tells you calories don't count, it's stupid. Although it's going to trick you into eating less. So did you ever read The Zone by Barry Sears?
No.
How it ever got traction is beyond me, because it was really complicated. So basically, I mean, I'll give him credit. He was one of the first to really start talking about body composition, which in the early 90s was pretty novel. But he also was big on setting protein intake based on activity level. So like, I'm not faulting him. And his idea was that the carb to fat ratio, there was a magic ratio, And he wrapped it up in this utter BS about eicosanoid production. Eicosanoids are very short-lived chemical messengers made from fatty acids. And this thing was just the biggest line of BS you've ever heard. Entire papers were written criticizing this gibberish and how saturated and monounsaturated and omega-6 and omega-3 had different effects, and one eicosanoid was good and one was bad, and we had to shift this ratio and blah, blah, blah. It was just a total load of BS. Although, I will say, someone at the Barry Sears hotline, probably Barry Sears himself, told me my body fat over the phone, and that was impressive. Because I called.
Based on what?
Well, I told him, I said, look, I've got these two different measurements. And I'm like, one says I'm at 10 and one says I'm at 20. He goes, you're probably at 15. I mean, all he did was split the middle. But I was super impressed that he was able to tell me my body fat percentage by my voice. I was very impressed by that.
Did you have the voice of a 15% body fat person?
I apparently so. So, because I think the Zone book actually came with those cheap-ass little single-spot calipers.
Oh, right.
Now, and the whole thing was like, oh, calories don't matter, restricted calorie diets. And it was this block system. So, like, you had your protein blocks based on one block of protein was 4 grams or whatever, 100 calories, or whatever it was. And then you set your carb and fat blocks relative to that to maintain the magic ratios. And this would generate the magic eicosanoid balance. And then that would unlock the fat ATM because reasons. I think it also was one of the early insulin glucagon ratio. It was whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just a low calorie diet. And I got into this raging argument. I know that will surprise everyone listening that I argued with some Zone cultist. And I'm like, this is just a low calorie diet, guys. Like, no, it's not. I go, let's do the math. Here's my hypothetical male female dieter. Here's their, I'm setting it up. This is exactly like in the book. Here's their protein blocks. Here's their carb blocks. Here's their fat blocks. The guy is at 1200 calories a day. The woman is at 900. It's nothing but a low calorie diet, period. And I forget what the end result of that was, but that was it. It was a bunch. It was a low calorie diet wrapped up in a bunch of BS to sell people on it and to get people to buy in, which is fine. Buy-in is critical. Make no mistake. But as soon as the calories stopped working, as soon as we started getting the Zone bars and the Zone protein drinks and all the high calorie Zone friendly stuff, the diet stopped. They had keto jelly beans, low-carb jelly beans in the 1990s that had just as many calories, if not more, than the real thing. But they were keto. They were low-carb. All that mattered was carbs. So that's what happens with the trick them into eating less without thinking they're without realizing they're doing it approach. And that fails a lot.